Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this day, for the opportunity to be in your house. We thank you, Father, for the opportunity to worship you and to praise you, especially through song and music. We lift up Brother Jerry this morning as he brings a message, that you fill his mouth with the words you'd have us to hear, that the Holy Spirit would guide and direct. And Father, if anyone's here that doesn't know you as Savior, that they'd repent of their sins today and have eternal life through you. Again, we thank you for your blessings this past week at VBS. Thank you for the offering we had to give to New Orleans. And just pray for those that are traveling there. Safety and a return trip, and that thank you, Father, for the opportunity that we can be a part of that to bless those in need. We praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. My name's Kathy Wayne. Our usual leader is under the weather this morning, but I'm so glad to be in God's house. And as we get started with worship today, let's stand and sing, The King is Coming. Jude tells us in Jude, the Lord is coming with thousands upon thousands of his holy ones. And don't you want to be there when the King is coming?
Steve is out hiking all week, so I'm taking his place. But we do have some announcements I'd like to share with you. First of all, some of you may know Jim Mundy. He used to be our song leader years ago. He passed away this past week, and they had the funeral. So remember the Mundy family. Also, Maxine Cook will be leaving to go to Georgia. Some of you know her. She's leaving, I think, today or tomorrow. So if you want to go see her or talk to her, you better get hold of her real quick. And I want to thank our kids and our teachers for VBS this week. We had a fantastic week. The kids were excellent. The teachers were excellent. And just a great spirit. There were some questions about baptism and salvation, which is always a good thing. And so we just had a great time. We thank the Lord for that. Our total offering for the mission offering was about $1,300, and that's going towards the New Orleans Mission House that we're going to start supporting. And if you have anything to bring, bring it up here, because we've still got about another month to collect goods for them. And right now we've got one van full for sure, and probably fill two, and maybe a U-Haul as well. So God is sure working with us, and I thank the Lord for that. I think Kelly has an announcement, so I'm going to let her come on up here. But before, come on up here, Kelly. But Joy's is Thursday, so Joy's, we're going to have pizza, and you bring desserts. So we look forward to Joy's, and I think Don is going to do the devotion. Am I right about that? Good.
Thank you. I'm sure. Good morning. So in the bulletin, you'll notice a brief little announcement about a homebound ministry that I would like to get started here. And I wanted to give just a brief testimony of how that kind of was seeded. So in 2017, my mom fell ill very quickly. It was in January. And by April, she was gone. We had her in a nursing facility. And even though I was staying with her pretty much every night, my brother would check on her. We did notice so many patients that were there that never really had any visitors. So we went out of our way to kind of visit with everyone there. At the time, too, there was a church member from one of the local churches that came by, and they had crocheted a small little scarf, and you thought that she was giving out gold, because a lot of the patients would just cuddle that around their neck, and including my mother. So the seed was kind of planted then. So fast forward to now. My father-in-law was admitted into rehab into one of the nursing facilities in town, and I had to get up the strength to go back in because that was a lot of hard memories back then. So went back in, kind of saw the same thing. There's a lot of people that were, you know, wanting that attention and wanting to talk. And then the youth came back from Fuge. So it all just came together, and I was like, now's the time. So God really, he nudged me at the beginning. But he shook the tree this time, because I was up for three or four nights. He kept giving me scripture, prayers, ideas, all these kinds of things. I'm like, all right, I'm listening. So if you would like to be part of that ministry, it's just starting out. So the seed is with me right now. I would love to see it grow and get lots of ideas. So come on out Tuesday and we can get that going. 6 o'clock. Yeah.
She told me a few words. I said, Kelly, you don't know what a few words is. Sorry about that. I forgot what his name is. Brian, come on up here.
So there's a vicious rumor around the church that we want to address today. There's a rumor that Ginger is retiring after 31 years. So as a church, we have some gifts for her, but as you know, the church secretary knows everything. And so you don't even have to usually tell the church secretary what you need. She can usually tell. That happened with me a few years ago. I was getting in contact with some people. Excuse me. The church directory was at home. And about the third call that week to Ginger, can you give me so-and-so's number and so-and-so's number? And without me even asking, she said, Brian, do you need a directory for your office? And I said, yes, ma'am, I do. And she said, I've got plenty. I'll have you one Sunday morning. So I get updated directories for my office through Ginger. So knowing what I needed without me saying it, and one of the phrases we often hear at Hillcrest is praise the Lord. And we praise the Lord for her. And the second most often heard phrase is, ask or see Ginger. So anything that you need to know, she has the information. So at this time, we'd like to honor her. If you would, Ginger, come forward. We have some gifts from the church. So we found out her favorite flower is carnations. So we have 31 carnations, one for each year, of course. And then we have a engraved silver platter, which I was told not to open because it's packed very well. There's an engraved silver platter. And then we have some gift cards here for you. And secretly, we tried to find out things you liked, and so that's what we're doing here. And I think there's a weekend trip here. So be sure to hang on to all those. Unlike the flowers, you want me to take them? All right. You want to say anything?
You know, I'm not a speech giver, but I thank everybody for allowing me to be part of this church to work for 31 years. And it's more than just being a secretary, it's a ministry, and I thank you for that. And I'm thankful for Lisa Owen that she's going to take on this job and treat her good. She's anyway, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Did she say she is not a speech giver? Richard, do you know anything about speeches? I do on Monday mornings, Tuesday morning. No. She's been a helpmate to me ever since I've been here. I depend on her, you depend on her, and we're very grateful that she has served this church so very well. She's going to miss us. Yes, she is. So, I think that's all. I'm going to have everybody stand up in a second, but let's go to the Lord and pray. Father, Lord, we love you and praise you. We thank you, God, for the blessings that you pour out on Hillcrest Baptist Church. We have so many praises, Lord. You have been so very, very good to us. I do pray for the future. I pray, God, that we would be a church that pleases you, that knows your will and gets it accomplished. I pray, God, that you fill our hearts with the gospel of Jesus. And Lord, if we run into somebody that does not know Jesus, that we'd have the opportunity to share what he's done for us. We do love you and praise you and ask, God, that you would be with those that are in need, those that are hurting. Some have lost brother Janet Doolittle, be with her, Father, and the loss of her brother. Some have been taken treatments for cancer, and we lift them up to you, and others' financial problems. God, we know that you're bigger than any problem we ever face, so we come to you asking for help. Be with us now, Father, and hear our hearts, hear our mouths sing, and our prayers, and Father, may everything we do and say bring honor and glory to your name, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, stand up and shake hands and hug necks and make everybody feel welcome. This is the normal time that I have the children come up. They're going to come do something special. So, children, come on up and Rita. Okay, all the kids come up here. You may already have them. All the kids. I think you got them.
Jesus, you're all I need, no matter where life may lead. Through every twist and turn, Jesus, you're all I need. Even when doubts and fears surround me, you're all I need, you are my everything.
They're so beautiful. And what a gift. In all of their iterations, they're so beautiful. Thank you all for supporting VBS every year. We had, Landon and I worked with the youth, and we had half our class was visitors. That was wonderful. We got to meet so many new people, and so thank you all, everyone that served, really appreciate it. Well, they sang Jesus is All I Need, which is so true, and we're gonna sing Jesus is All the World to Me. You can remain seated. Sing One Day.
Thank you. I think it's safe to say this morning that probably I have known Ginger longer than anyone else in this room. Has anyone else known her for 74 years? I was 2 years and 1 week old when I met her. In fact, my name was supposed to be Ginger. But I'm going to sing anyway. Life is easy when you're up on the mountain and you've got peace of mind like you've never known. But then things change when you're down in the valley. Don't lose faith. When things go wrong, He'll make it right. And the God of the good times is still God in the bad times. The God of the day is still God in down in the valley of trials and temptations. That's where faith is really put to the test. For the God on the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go He'll make it right. And the God of the good times is still God in the bad times. The God of the day is still God in the night. The God of your day is still God of your night.
I don't like to stir the pot, Leroy, but you just told Ginger's age. Uh-huh. I just want to remind her of that, just in case she didn't hear it.
She always got the best.
Yeah, you can talk. You've had it. All right, we're going to be in Revelation chapter 20. And I'm going to have to get serious because this is going to be a serious sermon today about heaven and hell. And my heart has been broken over this. And I'm going to share some thoughts with you that throughout the message where this has come from. But let's read Revelation chapter 20, verses 4 through 15. As we read it, realize this is what it's waiting for us. It's going to happen. This is God's word. He's sharing it with us so that we know what's coming. Revelation chapter 20, starting in verse 4. And John writes, I saw thrones and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus, for the word of God, who had not worshiped the beast or his image, and he had not received his mark or on their foreheads or on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Can you picture that, reigning with Christ for just 1,000 years? And then eternity's coming after that. But the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And then verse 7 starts the satanic rebellion, crushed. Now when the 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from his prison, and he will go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, whose number is as the sand of the sea. They went up on the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city. And a fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, wherever the beast and the false prophet are. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Verse 11, then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. Books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in these books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Pretty serious stuff. Heaven or hell? My first question is this. Do we take either one of them very serious? Your pastor loves you. Your pastor sees things. And I'm asking you today, how serious do you take heaven and hell? Both places, heaven or hell, is absolutely the most important places to you today, forever. After this body takes its last breath, that body, you, will end up in one of these places, heaven or hell. Do you agree with that? Even if you don't, it's going to take place. How serious are we about heaven and hell? This week, now, I don't listen to country western. For some reason, Tim McGraw was on the radio channel that I was listening to, and he sang this, "Live like you were dying." Live like you were dying. And that piqued my attention. So I went home and I Googled the lyrics. And here's some of the lyrics. This was about a man. He was given a short time to live. The man said, "When you got that kind of news, what do you do?" And if you just stopped right there and you've got a week to live or 2 months to live, what are you going to do? The song goes like this. "I went skydiving. I climbed Rocky Mountains. I went bull riding. I loved deeper. I spoke sweeter. Someday I hope you get the chance to live like you're dying." When you think about heaven and hell, and that's the final resting place you're going to be, I hope you don't get bad news and say, "Well, I'm going to catch up on life. You know, the bucket list. I'm going to do the things that I've always wanted to do." What you best do, I wasn't going to speak like this, I can't help it. What you best do is get right with God and figure out what purpose he has given you in life and take care of it. If you've given a short bit of time, and only God knows that, by the way, but if God's given you just a short amount of time, you better do what God wants you to do. Well, there was another song that came to mind. It was by one of those singers that most of us probably don't know. His name is John Lennon. Anybody know John? He wrote a song called Imagine. Imagine there's no heaven It's easy if you try. No hell below us, and above us only sky. Well, Brother John had it wrong. There is a heaven, and there is a hell. And he lost his life believing that there's no heaven or no hell. Where do you think he is today? I'm going to tell my age, Leroy, now. There used to be a group called Jan and Dean. Some of you know it. They sang Dead Man's Curve. And here's the lyrics to that part of them. Dead Man's Curve, it's no place to play. Dead Man's Curve, you best keep away. Dead Man's Curve, I can hear them say, won't come back from Dead Man's Curve. And what they were doing while he's singing this song is racing to Dead Man's Curve, and one of them died. And then Cher, she sang a song called Believe. Is there life after love? And then she says, nobody's strong enough to know. Well, I got news for her too. There's life more abundant after love, and that's from Jesus Christ. I mentioned these songs to you, and there's a whole lot more, because songs have an influence on us. And over a period of time, we hear those songs and we adopt them into our lives. And then the gospel, God's word, becomes less and less to us. So we sing those songs like that, and heaven doesn't enter into our thought. Hell doesn't. We just go along with the lyrics and the tune and what goes along with that kind of lifestyle. But what about Jesus and his influence on us? He has a lot of thoughts that he gives to us that ought to influence every single person on this earth. Some reject him, some don't. But let's look at his words, Matthew chapter 6. Now, we're going to be in several places, but Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21, talking about eternity and how serious are you about heaven and hell. How do you live your life right now? Are you living like Tim McGraw sang, trying to fill your life with things that you haven't done yet? Go skydiving or zip lining, or maybe go fishing out in the ocean for the first time. But listen to what Jesus says, Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in where? In heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now that's Jesus talking to us. He's talking to anybody that will be listening. Now keep on going, look at verse 24. No one can serve two masters. By the way, this is Jesus still speaking. No one can serve two masters, for one either will hate the one and love the other, or else he'll be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon meaning money. He's talking about money, but this could apply to anything in your life. You cannot serve two masters on this earth. You either serve one and hate the other, or you're loyal to one and you're not the other. Any hobby that comes over Jesus, then that puts Jesus out as your master. Even your family cannot come over Jesus. If you worship your family over Jesus, then you're not serving Jesus. Now, how important, as we look at our lives, is heaven and hell to us? This is so serious. How important is it? One day, life on this earth is going to come to end. Everyone dies at least once, unless Jesus comes back. So run over to Hebrews chapter 9, just so you'll have a reference. Hebrews chapter 9, you probably memorized this before, verse 27. And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. The Bible tells us that everybody is going to die until Jesus comes back. Realize now, before it's too late, that death does not end your consciousness. death on this earth does not end your life. When we begin to think of this all the way through, heaven and hell become very important to us. There is an afterlife. After this physical death, you're going to realize how important heaven is or how important hell is. There's a moment that you'll realize that maybe you've made a mistake and you've worshiped the wrong thing. I know I'm not talking to everybody, but there may be somebody in here that's thinking they're right when they're not. My brother Billy Graham wrote this: "It isn't fashionable today to talk about hell, but the Bible is clear. God created us with a soul or a spirit that will live forever, and when we die, we will continue to exist, either in the place the Bible calls heaven or in the place it calls hell. Hell, the Bible says, is reserved for those who reject God and turn their back on Him. If you want nothing to do with Him in this life, then you'll have nothing to do with Him in the next life." Now check out Matthew 25 and 30. Matthew 25 and 30. And Jesus says, "And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." The unprofitable servant is a man or woman who has rejected Jesus as master, who has rejected Jesus as their Savior. And I want to say this as clear as I know how. You do not want to end up in hell. Shake your head if you heard me. You do not want to end up in hell. Your pastor loves you enough to tell you point blank, you do not want to end up in hell. It would break my heart to know that I've preached these years to you and somebody ends up in hell, but it's going to happen. I know it's going to happen. There are people that have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ in this church and left this church. The Bible says hell will be a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth, total darkness, loneliness, and hopelessness. And look how Jesus describes it in Revelation chapter 20 again. Revelation 20 and 10. I'm reading these verses for a reason. I know we're going back and forth, but this is God's word. These are God's thought to his people, to anybody that will listen. He's trying to open the door for us to hear. Revelation 20, verse 10. "The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever." Brimstone is a form of sulfur. Again, here's me telling you my age, but years ago we used to have these chemistry sets. I don't know if they still have them or not. Anybody ever have a chemistry set when you're little? And one of the things, you had a Bunsen burner, a little burner that you set, put a match to, and it just had a little flame. It had a test tube, and every one of the chemistry sets had sulfur in it. Put a little bit of sulfur in that test tube and set it on fire and see what happens. They give you a clothespin too. Some of you don't know what a clothespin is. I know that, but it's one of those little clips that you never mind. It stinks. And that's what you're going to end up in hell for eternity. Hopelessness, helplessness, without Jesus. Fire and brimstone. It's going to be hot. It's going to be smelly. You're going to be miserable. Look at verse 14, Revelation 20 and 14. "Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire." This is the second death. All those who died without Jesus, death as we know it, if you are without Jesus, your partner in crime will be Satan. And it'll be the lake of fire. And you'll be miserable and hurt. I'm talking about physical hurt. You'll be as if you're burning. Something happened this this week that has broken my heart, and I hope it broke everybody's heart. There were 5 men in that submarine that lost their lives. How important was heaven or hell to them? They find out, didn't they? They're in one place or the other, and I have a feeling all 5 of them were not saved. Exploring something that everybody wants to do, something like that. But your preacher is telling you today to think about heaven and hell constantly. And let heaven be important to you, the most important thing to you. Lay up your treasures in heaven. Work for the Lord Jesus Christ in all that you do. Every treasure that we lay up in heaven does not get destroyed. Moth or rust cannot destroy it. And God sees it. At this point, you need to start thinking, where will you be? Let me tell you why this is so important to your preacher. Since I've been here, I've had adults come forward and say, I thought I was saved, but I don't think I am. And 2 of them are sitting in here today. I don't know how they were at the time, but they were over 30. Looking at David, probably 40. Not knowing for sure whether they're going to heaven or hell. And the simple thing is, David, if I can use your name, David. If not, sorry, David. But David was the one. Let's make sure it's right now. Let's go through the process. Let's confess your sins and invite Jesus into your heart. And he did. And I got the privilege of baptizing him. What a day that was. To know that I won't say 40-year-old man thought he'd been saved all these years, and he wasn't. And now he's got a place prepared for him in heaven. We had another woman sitting in here today, the same story. We may have another one in here, the same story. This past week, during the video missions for the VBS, we were told about 2 missionaries, one to a foreign country in Colombia and one to St. Louis, Missouri. The preacher from St. Louis, Missouri had a wife, and they were 35, 40 years old, maybe a little older. And her testimony was this. She grew up in church, sang in the choir, went to Sunday school. The church had it Sunday night. She was there on Sunday nights. She went to potluck. Every time they had potluck, those of you who don't know what potluck is, that's where we just eat. We eat together. She thought church was about fellowship. And somewhere around 35 years old, she realized she was just a member of church. She did not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And this is a preacher's wife. This is a missionary called by God to go to St. Louis, to the slums, the hard part of St. Louis. So she gave her life to the Lord. Now she's serving the Lord, laying up those treasures in heaven. But that story that she told, I hope it broke everybody's heart that was listening to it. There are so many people in this world that think they're okay with the Lord, and they're not. I don't have any idea how many. Only the Lord knows, and you know. Sometimes you don't even know. But I'm telling you, you do not want to end up in hell. And if there's that much inkling in your heart that you're not sure, then come up during this invitation and say, Brother Jerry, I am not sure. And I won't put you on the spot. We'll just pray. And God will come into your heart just as fast as you can say, Lord, come into my heart. How important is heaven and hell to us? Now this, I'm going to get personal. I said I wasn't, but I can't help it. When you come to church, is it just for fellowship, or is it to learn the Word of God? There's an awful lot of people that look like they come to church just to fellowship. And that's your pastor that loves you. I cannot hold back. I see what I see. Why do you come to church? I hope it's to serve God, to know God, to have a relationship with God, to give your heart to God, to learn more about His Word. But the truth is, some come, and I see you, and I'm preaching away, and your phone is out, and you're doing this. You know what that is. And then I talked to you about it, so I was looking at my Bible. When your thumbs are doing that for 30 minutes straight, I don't have stupid written across my forehead. God sees it. I'm dead serious about heaven and hell, how important it is. Why do we come to church? How important is heaven and hell to you? If you're doing this instead of listening, I know I'm not the best preacher, but I read God's Word, and that's enough. I don't want you to end up in hell. You need to know whether you're truly saved or not. Look at verse 12, Revelation 20, verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in those books. There's two sets of books. There's a bunch of books with lost people's names in them. There's one book of life that has saved people. And that's what John is seeing here. And those are the two most important books in your life. Heaven and hell is the two most important places, and the books of life or in the books of works is the most important. And you want your name written in the Lamb's book of life. And if it's not, guess where you're going to end up? You're not going to end up in heaven, in that lake of fire forever. In fact, look at verse 15. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into where? The lake of fire. Whew. I'm through. Do you understand what I said today? The homework is this. Do some thinking about heaven and hell. Here's the good news. This is Billy Graham as well. The good news is that God doesn't want you to go there. Jesus paid the price for your sins. He took it upon himself, the death and hell that we deserve, through his death on the cross. Trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior and thank him that you will spend eternity with him in heaven. Yeah. I'm going to give an invitation. And I hope that nobody has to come forward because you're sure, absolutely sure, that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But if you're not sure, please come up and let me pray with you. God may put something else on your heart, and I never want to hinder that. If God tells you just come forward to pray, come on forward. The altar's open. If you've never been baptized, maybe God wants you to be baptized, and he'll put that on your heart. You need to join our church. He'll put that on your heart. But I want us to make a decision. Know without a doubt that our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So let's pray. Father, you gave me the message. You know what I said, and you know the hearts. I pray, God, that you speak to each person. Let them know without a doubt that they're saved, or let them know without a doubt that they're not saved. God, if they're not saved, I pray that they would come forward. If there's other decisions to be made, Lord, I pray, God, today would be the day that they make them. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to be standing down front. If you need to make a decision for Jesus, come on down and we'll pray. This is Logan McDowell. I have to stand up. Logan gave his life to the Lord about a month or two ago. We've been just praying for him and whatnot. And during vacation Bible school, he kept telling me, I got Jesus in my heart. And I know he does. I asked him about sin. He said, I think so. But he's awfully young, you know, to know about every sin there is. So we need to teach him and grow him. And but I am proud of his son. He said over here he got the an award for doing all 5 memory verses. So he's got a thirst and a hunger for the Lord. And Mom, thank you for bringing him and praying with him. She called me and was so excited. She was crying. Can you imagine that?
I wanted to get the big choir.
Yes. All right. So if you would you accept an amen, praise the Lord?
Amen.
Good. Yeah. That's good. Yeah. I'm going to pray. Then you guys come up here and just love on him. Father, thank you for this decision. I pray you bless Logan and Mom and Dad and sister and God, that you just bless them with your presence and help us to be the church, Lord, that leads Logan to a greater walk with you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, come on back here, Belshay. Let me get you back here.